I think this discussion is perhaps bordering into areas that are inappropriate and might rightly be not discussed at this.
I would agree. Miguel, can you keep your remarks general and not specific here?
Well, but the thing is that, I mean, there is certain, I mean, people from outside of the WBI can see the problem one way, and since I've been dealing with the problem for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, we see in another way. I mean, let me try to see if I can be as general as I can here. I think there's a vacuum of power in WBI. I mean, I think there's some people who are trying to take advantage of that. The other problem is here, and 10 of the board doing some kind of work, and some people's strategy really to start the board for not doing the work. I've been in some of the local station board meetings. I mean, they are a disaster, and there's some people who basically don't want the board to do any kind of work, and the strategy is let's start those meetings no matter what. Those meetings are ugly, of course they are ugly. I don't know how we're going to solve the problems if we don't bring the different parties here, but we need to see what's causing all of those problems. Is it racial problems here in WBAI, like people being, that I heard some people complain, and other people, I mean, I saw the video and so on. Maybe that could be with some board members. Yes, they made some comments. Is the majority of the board races or something like that? I don't think they are, and that includes myself. I think that some people are taking advantage of the comments on some particular person to go deep into the crisis of WBAI, and we need to address that issue, which is closely, very closely related to how to control the station, and how, for instance, the is so difficult for any committee or for the board to do any kind of work. And the other part that I think that we cannot solve the problem without talking to some specific people that I like to see sitting down and say, okay, here is the problem. And hear from those people what they see to raise those problems and see how we can come out with some solution to this problem, and to see if they could be happy with the solution that other people or people outside of WBI offer to those problems. And I think that's the direction that I would like to see. If we don't get the people involved, and not necessarily people who are people who are board members, people who, to my understanding and to what I experience, who has no position of power in WBI, but are very important people, to bring it to those conversations, because they are professional agitators and taking some issue and take it to the highest level and to explore that issue, but they have another agenda behind. And I think that we need to address all of those issues and to bring those parties into the table to sit down, to discuss the problem, not to attack to one another or to get out what they have and to get out of the chest what they had to say, but they really come out, are you comfortable with that solution? Can we move after we come out and can we work together in those solutions? And to see what they say. But I'm trying to point out, if we don't bring party, the different people here that are involved in creating this crisis, and they know who they are, we're going nowhere. And I'm going to recommend that as a national board member and as a local board member and as a person who's been in WBI, who's been involved in so many of those crises, and who being even a victim of some people that today are very responsible for what's going on today, I don't think that we're going to solve those problems. We need to bring the different party here, even if they don't have anything to see with the power or the structure power that we have in WBI. We need to bring those people, and I'm willing to name some of those people who can be part of this group to sit down for whoever the board decide to name to be that group that can come to the WBI and to hear the problems and to hear the argument about what causing the crisis in WBI and what the solution should be.
Okay.
Marty, can I get on the stack, Marty, David?
Alice.
Okay. Sorry.
Alice on the stack.
Marty, did you hear
Ambrose? I'd like you on the stack.
Okay.
Hello.
Starve.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to let everybody know that my concern and my love and affection for WBAI is just as much as here from a local radio station at KBFA in Berkeley, and so it will be for Houston, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles. I am very, very sympathetic to what Gerald spoke to, and I commend him for volunteering his services to go and talk to people to diffuse this racially motivated crisis. I do, however, believe that there are some fundamental premises that unless they are corrected, that these problems will continue on. And first of all, we have not really sat down and talked about in a heart-to-heart way what are the functions of governance and management. There are problems that arise on the side of the governance, that be local station board members, PNB members, all that kind of stuff. And on the other side, there are management-related problems that are at the management of the stations and the network, and for which Dan Kaplan would be mostly responsible for. On the governance side, I have mentioned before that unless we take a lead, PNB itself, I don't see how these things are going to resolve. And one of the suggestions that I have, we always, whenever we have a little crisis, we run over there, we're looking for some mediator or facilitator here and there. The guy comes or the lady comes, and we stay there for a couple of days, and they go away, and next week we're back again to the same problems we had before, and we start fighting again. And I think that stems from a very fundamental premise. That comes that we are based on the premise that somebody wins, somebody loses. And when we compromise, and somehow we get along, but nobody really wins. We have to get a mediator of some kind that transcends that kind of a failed model, where I know one of the people on this planet, and I'll be more than happy whenever PNB asks for it, that I can look if he is coming to this country. He is from Norway, and I mentioned that, and in passing perhaps, his name is Johan Galtung. And if he comes to this country, I think it would be worthwhile for him to spend a day or two and talk with us about all these things, or how we can transcend these kind of problems. And I myself have suggested a few things. One, I ask that we, our system we have here, Robert's Rules, we cannot, it's a debate kind of a format. We hardly have any time where we can actually create a dialogue between, even among ourselves. And then people say, well, we can get on the email and start talking to each other, and that's a dialogue. I don't believe that's a dialogue. And so we have to create a dialogue where we can heart-to-heart share how we want, what our vision is for the network, and don't carry around all our baggage from the past, and look at the future and create a dream so that we all can share. Unless we have that, people are still stuck in the past and the sandbox, and we must get out of that. So I suggest that we had a staff board relationship committee, and I think we still, it took us a while to get to it, and we still haven't got it. We got so much bogged down in the structures of it, arguing the small things of it, that it somehow got lost, and we're going to talk about it. So that's all I have. And if I can serve in any way whatsoever at any station, I would be willing to just leave my job for a few days and help out. So count me on it.
Thanks. Marty, this is Mark. Can I get on the stack, please?
Roger's next.
As can I, please?
Yes.
William.
Got you, William. Roger, it's your turn.
Okay, thanks. I just maybe an hour or two ago sent out an open letter to the Pacifica community regarding at least part of the situation here in New York with WBAI, and I hope you all take a chance to read that. The essence of it is that, it's a very complex situation, and it seems to me that most everyone, sincerely believes what they believe, whatever that may be, whether it's true or not, or whether it's well-informed or not, or whatever it is. I think that for the most part, people are, sincere and very concerned about all these issues. But I think a lot of what's going on here is that there is exaggeration and exploitation over issues of race, and it's all about the upcoming local station board election. It really, that's what you'll read in this open letter that I put out. I'm not saying that's the whole story, but it's got very much to do with it. And I think it's a campaign, and I think it's rather dirty. And hey, I could be wrong, but I don't think so. And it's very, very distressing. I'd like to say other things. I hate to just leave it at that, but I'm going to not take up a lot of time and let somebody else speak, because you can read my post and you can forward it and so on. And one last thing is that, Gerald, you know, I've seen those emails too, and that you spoke about, that you considered, you know, outright racist or whatever, and they're very distressing. And I think they are very shooting from the hip and very reactionary. But I don't necessarily agree that there's a campaign to replace all the people of color managing this and on the staff at WBAI. I really disagree with that. And so I'm going to have to provide a lot better proof than what's in those emails, which are open to interpretation, by the way.
Hey, thank you, Ray.
I hope you're right.
Hey.
Did you say Ray?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think part of the problem is that I suspect that, you know, I just finished watching a couple of weeks ago Michael Moore's film Fahrenheit 9/11, and I saw this group of seemingly innocuous, very peaceful-looking middle-aged peaceful being infiltrated by the police. And I think that some of the people across the table for me sometimes are paid by the government or the police. And that's part of the difficulty, is that their interest lies in the destruction of Pacifica. Now, besides that, I think that we are dealing with truly different interests sometimes and different ways of looking at the world. And this is going to apply to something I'm going to recommend a little bit later, a change in intense recommendation that we use the officers. Because if we do use that formula, we would have, in the case of WBAI, Roger Manning, who's a member of a faction in this struggle, in these discussions, and I agree to that extent with Miguel, that the different factions have to be there, and that's why we cannot just use structure in a rigid way. And besides the fact that nominally what I just said is correct in terms of Roger's alliance...
Chair, I want to point a personal privilege here, that I'm not... I do not consider myself strictly a part of a faction, of any faction at WBAI. I am not part of the faction.
For the record,
Roger tends to ally with one position.
Okay.
I'm looking at right now...
My point of personal privilege is that I should be able to respond point by point. If you're going to go point by point by name.
Hold on, Chair. Do you mind? Go
ahead, Ray.
Now, I'm looking at an open letter by Roger. Okay? I'm a member of the Justice and Unity Committee, where he demonstrates an inability to understand. You know, it's like in the South, and I realize this is a...
I'm sorry, now personal.
It is not personal. I realize it's an extreme example. There were times when white masters took the position that the slaves fighting for change were just troublemakers.
I'm looking at a
more diluted version of this thinking, that somehow it takes distorted, perverse vision of the world and aspiration to want to change things that are not acceptable.
This is inappropriate.
Respond to Roger privately if this is what you want to do.
Well, the reason I'm addressing this question is that the formula... for example, in the discussion of WBAI, some of us have called for a dissociation from a statement made by a local board member calling for a boycott of the station, one. Second, and I'm almost quoting literally, saying that we should take a close look at all the blacks hired recently by the station, and that since then the station has been going to hell. We have asked simply that the board dissociate itself from this statement. To me, this is quite obvious on the face of it. So when Roger writes on his open letter, it's an open letter, that the motivation for this statement is an electoral tactic, I'm saying that this is clearly not going to be conducive to resolution of our problem if we only include such a view, only that view to represent WBAI, by using that structure.
We're getting
now,
into the
okay,
issue.
But we're not, that is Dan's suggestion, that's not the board's proposal for this board.
Okay, I'm just addressing that, and in the process of addressing it, I touch on some question like everybody else has done. Now, other problem that we have at the BAI, besides the racial question, which is clear, is a question of power and an aspiration to power. And I believe that the apparent confusion that SARS refers to between governance and management is not based on a lack of intelligence, but rather an unbridled desire to run this bloody station that is WBAI. And that people refuse to accept the fact that they were not elected as managers, and that what they were elected for is to provide governance to this system. And when you add to this, you know, long simmering personal animosity, then you have what you have here. Some of the incidents that have happened have not been created as a result of the kind of paranoid thinking that I've seen in this letter and other documents, but rather people's opposition. And to be treated that way by, for example, in this case, one board member and having the rest of the board or a substantial part of the board refusing to discuss this issue, being called to order, being called to quiet and to shut up, and just erupting. When you're fighting for your life, when you're fighting for either literally or for example, we're fighting for the life of this country right now, sometimes playing by the rules of the people holding. And this is what civil disobedience is. Civil disobedience is telling this system that in the face of such insult and assault and disparity, we refuse to obey your laws. That we do it within a country that is contained, but this is a way of denouncing it. And to outside of the structural struggle that is taking place, some of the outbursts that have been done at WBI are not the result of any highly questionable leadership. I mean, this is, again, to me, this is hard for some individual to conceive that the majority of folks, based on their own experience and desire for change, will take on the mantle. And that, indeed, for example, I'm looking at the letter that was sent to WBAI, that is part of this statement I referred to, where Bob says that Bob Lederer, who's a member of this, of the local local board of WBAI, calls on people, reminds people that there's an election. So the whole thing is not set up so that we can have electoral victory, but to say the way to change that unacceptable state of being is to remember that you can vote and do so. And that is why. And as long as people cannot understand, and this is disrespect of where people are coming from, and this is because privileged individuals are completely unable, that those who don't haven't had those privileges or have chosen not to live in that way of privilege, can put everything in the struggle. Unless you can understand that, you will indeed assign them a very base motive, such as just winning elections.
Chair, may I ask a question?
I yield.
Now, folks,
we have a stack, I think.
It's 7 o'clock. We have a stack.
May I just ask a question?
Alice, you're on the stack.
No.
Okay.
I want to take another point of proposal very quickly. I'd like to ask that my letter be entered into the record the minutes of this meeting.
That's okay.
At whatever point in the meeting at which, that would be appropriate.
Chair, can you read the stack so we know?
Appropriate.
All right. The stack is Carol, Alice, Ambrose, Mark, and William.
Excuse me, Marty. I said repeatedly that this is Dave, and I would like to get on the stack some time ago.
Okay,
before
Dave.
Some of those
one point
spoke.
Of order,
Chair. Certainly before Alice spoke.
May I just ask how we're going to proceed? May I ask?
I am trying to figure that out. Folks, what we need to do is to work toward some sort of action or solution, not to simply talk about the situation. And I appreciate there are a lot of perspectives here. But the our duty is to do something. And so I would like you to confine your comments to what PNB can do. Okay? Carol.
of course, everyone is very upset, and I want to convey my condolences to the hurt and the pain that I hear from everyone in New York who's speaking about this. What I think the board can do is follow through on getting professional help, a mediator in there, to work with the people, as Ray said, all the different, and Miguel said, all the different parties here. It's going to take an intensive effort, and I think that we need to support that effort, and Marty has been working on it at Don Rojas's request, and it needs to get implemented fast. Whatever needs to happen, the board just needs to say, please go ahead and do it. I don't need to decide what it is. Sounds like Marty's talked to good people and Don and a couple of other people. And just, I mean, it just happened. The other thing that I'm personally concerned about as a board member is that I have seen video clips of incidents at LSB meetings that lead me to fear that someone is going to get hurt. And that would be a tragedy. And I think we have a responsibility to guarantee, as best we can, public safety. And so I know that, Dan, you led off your discussion with saying you were talking about some safety measures. I'd like to know what they are, and I'd like them implemented. And I'd like maybe the board to pass a resolution approving whatever it is you're doing that's going to guarantee safety. So the board is on record that we, while this very volatile and upsetting situation is in progress, we're looking out for public safety. And that's
you're
all
here.
I have to say.
Hey, Alice. Thank you. I would like to focus also on what we can do. I think we can have a long and hopefully detailed discussion at BAI about our many different views and concerns. And like Carol, I hear and I also experience as a BAI member the deep emotion that this brings up in all of us. And I think it would be very worthy to have a professional mediator come, and so that everyone who is involved in this can out our feelings and our, and hopefully create some way of working together better. I would like to mention that Paul Surivel, who Gerald mentioned earlier, the treasurer of BAI, and of course he's on the National Finance Committee too, he has come out with 12 points, which are now, I believe, 11 points, that six of us at BAI have already signed on to in the last couple of days.
Good.
And that tomorrow night at our next LSB member meeting, others will be asked to sign. And these 12 points or 11 points, I think, and Gerald has seen them, I'll be happy to email them to everybody on the PNB if you'd like.
Right.
And let's see, safety measures, absolutely. I look forward to this discussion now to hear, you know, what Dan might be proposing. And we do need that because not only do I fear for whoever might get seriously hurt, but also I'm concerned about possible lawsuits against Pacifica if that happens. And my final, more small comment is, if, Dan, you were referring to the PNB treasurer, that would not, by the bylaws, be Lonnie, if that's who you were after, because if that's who you're talking about, Article 8, Section 3 discusses that the board treasurer, the foundation's chief financial officer, shall not be called the board treasurer. Just to clarify that small point. Thank you.
Hey, Alice. Ambrose.
I'm in receipt of an email from Leslie Radford. Point two in that email, I'm sure, and she sent it to everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Deals with the Pacifica race and nationality policy. And she indicates some things that I'm just now being made aware of by her memo. It says it was passed by the interim PNB on two occasions, June of 2002 and September of 2003. And its purpose, she said, was to mitigate ethnic and racial tensions in the network. And then she writes, the first step to implementation, which was prepared at the behest of the PNB by a representative from each station's race and diversity committee, was the initial job description for an interim coordinator for race, nationalities, and other diversities. It was presented, she says, at the March 9, 2003 meeting. And then she says, on September 21st, 2003, the race and nationality guidelines were mandated, and the ED was required to implement them immediately and report on his progress at the next PND meeting. No implementation was undertaken and no report made. If that's the case, and it's true, we have the beginning of a policy and a job description of a person who should be implementing that policy under the executive director. Now, the second thing I want to say is this. We, as a board, have to understand that we run a corporation. And each one of these entities is simply a property owned by this corporation. We are not five separate fiefdoms. This board has a responsibility to make certain that this thing works. Every one of those properties works throughout what we call our network. And so we have a responsibility. And the first thing we ought to do is to make certain that the policy that apparently has been in place for a couple of years but never implemented be implemented immediately, and that the executive director do what this says he was supposed to do. And the third thing she dealt with was the bylaws convention, which I won't deal with it at this time, but it's something we also have to deal with. Because we, and I know you hate the word, we are a corporation. We're a non-profit corporation. And we as the board have a major responsibility in making certain that we enhance the value of this corporation. And therefore, when we have a situation like we have in New York City, we have to act. And if we have the positions and the policy to act, all we do is implement it.
Find a copy of that.
Hard to hear you.
Somewhere deep in the minutes, somewhere. Mark, didn't you already speak to this issue?
No, I had a point of information about the document that...
Okay, well then go ahead. You're next.
Okay, I mean, I'll try to get to the heart of the solutions here, but when I'm reading all this stuff, and I did read Roger's email and others in detail, I'm reminded, like, a week ago I was sitting in my car preparing to go to karaoke, and I'm singing in my hand my hot number. Suddenly a police car comes by, unmarked, but I know it's a police car. The guy jumps out, who happens to be white, and comes rushing at me with his bullet out to my face with the gun cocked.
Oh, my God.
He asked me, I have to stop everything, freeze. He makes me get out of the car, lie on the ground, the whole bit, handcuffs, because he decides that I'm smoking crack. And I'm just sitting there, you know, singing in my hand, getting ready to go out and sing. So, be it as it may, fortunately there was Pacifica stuff on my seat. So he saw that, I'm talking that up. You know, yeah, I'm on the board. I'm trying to let him know that if you plan something to shoot me, someone's going to ask questions. Because I've been trained to do that since I was young. So I'm playing the seeds. Finally, he realizes there's no smoke, nothing. There's nothing here. Says, well, you know, we have to be careful. And so I go on my way. I'm shook up, and I go to my next-door neighbor who happens to be white. And he and I always have a martini that he fixes for me on Fridays. I'm telling him this story, and I'm upset about it. And he's upset, but at the same time, he also understands that we have to be safe. And I'm realizing that he's not seeing and feeling what I felt.
Right.
And the reality is, in this world, we're never going to completely understand the other person's perspective. The best that we can do is open up our mind enough to at least hear the possibility of it. And that's all we can move towards sometimes. So when I look at the situation in New York,
I say that what I see are people underestimating one side and overestimating the other. And I think that what we need to do to seek balance on the board are a couple of things, and I don't think there's any more we can do until the election. And I don't mean to sound like a pessimist, but when you throw in people's livelihood, their sense of personhood, and an election, an ego, you've got a fire on your hands in the sense that I don't think anyone's vested interest lies in this thing going away until the election. And because of that, it won't. Because the people who are on the out will use it, and the people who are on the in will use it. What else would you use? So to me, politically, what we best we can hope for between now and then is, first of all, the physical harm situation, the safety plan. And I have not read, unfortunately, I haven't read the plan, but I would say that's the most important thing, that no one get hurt in all of this. And I want to echo what Carol said on that. That's very important. I think the videotaping thing has to be ruled on, because that seems to really get people going with the videotape in the face. And I know we had that issue at PFW. Can you videotape at a public meeting? Whatever the ruling is, make the ruling known and make it available to everyone, and not just someone with a video camera suddenly in your face. I think that kind of helps things along. And then finally, I think that I would go to any means possible to call an executive session, for example, when you're going over the budget, because you do have to discuss some salary issues, executive session it. That's what I would do and just let it cool a little bit. I wouldn't necessarily throw a mediator in right now, because I don't think it's in anyone's vested interest to cause peace until the elections have happened. So I think whatever efforts between now and then would be better served after the election, when everybody realizes the dust is settled, this is what we have, and now we have to learn to deal with each other better. That's me.
Thank you, Mark. William.
Sorry, I was on mute. I'm really just, it's hard to come up with words for what's going on throughout the network in regards to issues around board relations and board and staff relations and all that. And I don't know that I can even speak to the issue in the way that I'm supposed to. So I'm just going to put out two really concise points, and they might feel like they're coming out of nowhere. Just one, I think that we really need to look at how I really appreciated Ambrose's remarks about how we're one corporation. Like, we're not five different, one word that's used here a lot in Berkeley is fiefdoms, and it's often used to describe how we as paid staff act. But it's interesting, because I think that that's how a lot of the certain members of our local station board might see themselves in a way, just as how we do different things. And I just hope that we can look at ways that we can be one organization, look at systems that we can develop, and really kind of look at how general managers and board chairs of LSB should really be interacting. And I know that at our station, that relationship isn't as great as it could be, just from observing it. And I'd really like us to look at ways that we can strengthen relationships with board chairs and with general managers. And I think in some ways it's more important to have a retreat and leadership training for our board chairs more so than for our full boards. Our full boards do need retreats, but I think that if a board chair and a general manager can be on the same page, it does a world of good for the larger board, because that's the relationship that should be really strong. And I don't know about Marty and Dan's relationship, but that's also something to keep in mind also. And I haven't heard bad things about that. I really think that board chairs really need to work really well with their lead executives. That could solve a lot of our issues. And secondly, I think that we really need to look at the term democracy. And I come from an educational system that values democracy, but when I look at what democracy's done to, you know, different communities, I know that it took a long time for communities that I feel a part of to be enfranchised in what we call the so-called democracy that we live in. And I think that it's really dangerous to say that because it's democratic, it's right. And I think that that's being done in a lot of situations. And I think that there have been some flawed processes in our democratic process, and we need to really look at them case by case and really look at how we can strengthen what's going on within our governance, because I think that people are quick to say, well, it's a democratic process that got us to where we are, so therefore we don't need to correct it. We just need to get people here to buy into democracy. And I think that there's just been a lot of issues where people have been following the democratic process where they're not looking at whether a process is really a fair process, but they're saying it's a democratic process. And if someone's elected, that overrules, you know, someone getting a fair, you know, hearing or someone being able to be involved in the confidential process. And the last thing I'll say is that when you look at personnel issues, I really think that we need to figure out how personnel issues can be dealt with from the national board level. I think that there's way too much of a gray area. I think that local station boards should be able to evaluate as far as, you know, provide evaluations of staff members if they're here. But I think that local station boards dealing with, you know, the personnel issues in five different ways creates problems, because we all work for the same corporation. We all work as staff members for the Pacifica Foundation, and we're having situations where local station boards are setting policy around hiring and firing and evaluating that are different in every station area, and it's causing problems where staff members are not feeling like they're working for an organization that, you know, that supports them, because no one's on the same page with where our personnel policies lie. And I really think that we need to review the flaws within our current process with hiring, firing, and personnel issues and how our personnel committees do business.
Well, Marty, on that note, unfortunately, I have to leave. Why don't we dialogue tomorrow morning to ensure that there's a proper safety plan in place with the parties in New York, and then I'll get briefed from you tomorrow as to the results of this meeting.
Okay, Dan.
Dan, before you go,
yes.
Could you let the board know what the safety plan is, just to reassure me that it's there?
Yeah, I'm not involved in the details of that. What I've been able to do from here is to talk with the general manager and talk with the board chair and ask the general manager to assist the board chair in whatever steps he may feel are necessary to ensure a safe and secure environment for an LSB meeting. Typically, as you know, before PNB meetings, we often chair, if necessary, and the executive director do dialogue to ensure that proper security measures are taken depending on the board meeting and depending on the situation. So that's something that really, that's a decision that they'll be making at the local level. But I know the local folks would be happy to dialogue with us tomorrow morning to ensure that we've been able to help them out in doing whatever they feel is necessary to create a safe environment.
Well, Dan, I'm kind of worried by that answer. I kept thinking of Kent State and Jackson State when you said that. I know you're saying that you want to make sure that everything is going to be okay, but, I mean, what are you talking about? Police officers, security guards, private guards? I mean, I'd like to know what that works out to be, not just leave it up to local, because if something happens as a result, it will definitely come back to national.
Right. That's why I'm suggesting that Marty and I, in relationship to the operations side of the foundation and the governance side of the foundation, dialogue with our respective counterparts to ensure that they feel that all the steps are in place to ensure a safe meeting.
Which will be when?
We could do that tomorrow morning.
No, when will
I know they've already been meeting today on that subject. Obviously, I don't go into the details of that, but it does range from, it could be as simple as stewards to private security. You know, it could be a range, but obviously, you know, we're talking as is our practice to obviously, you know, it's not armed security with the police surrounding the building and SWAT teams and so on.
Okay, all right.
So that means that there's no policy in place that would apply to all of the stations.
in terms of a safety policy?
Yes.
For LSB meetings?
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. There is no safety policy regarding LSB meetings.
I don't think that at any time prior to just recently anyone thought there was a need, but it appears there is a need.
Absolutely.
Well, in the last meeting, they threatened to call the police.
Stack, or are we just doing free form?
Folks, we need to...
So, Marty, we'll dialogue on it in the morning, taking into consideration the very real concerns of this PM.
Can I ask then a question?
Yeah.
You feel free to answer that. And from whom would the security personnel take directive?
Well, typically, you know, these a PNB meeting or an LSB meeting is under the purview of the chair of those respective committees. So that would be the responsibility of the chair. That is typically what happens at these kind of meetings. The chair is responsible for the conduct of the meeting. And if the chair, for instance, decides to close a meeting down, the chair closes the meeting down. But I don't believe, you know, from what I understand, I believe that there is a level of confidence that a successful and productive meeting can occur.
Madam Chair, I'd like to respond to that, if I could, really quickly.
Can I just get clarification? Because if it is just let's jump in when we feel strongly about things that have just been said, I'd like to be able to operate on that basis, too.
Need to.
Would you, Dave?
Dave actually has the floor, but I think we need to let Dan go unless...
I'd like to ask some questions before he goes.
I'm being
but William's certainly on the I jump in first stack first, and then I would say me, and then Ambrose.
Madam Chair, Vicki is on the line. I just joined.
Okay, thank
Marty, if you could handle those queries for me, I am really in trouble. I'm late as it is, and I would very much appreciate it if the questions be directed to you, and I could even call you in a little bit and get updated.
All right, go ahead, Dan.
Thank you.
Bye, Dan.
And I will address it in a moment, but Dave, do you want to say anything?
I don't know. Is the Pope Catholic? is it my turn on the stack?
It is.
Okay. I'm on that I wish I could talk stack, too. So.
Actually, okay.
Dave is...
Okay, so what I wanted to say is a few things. First of all, there is one component of this struggle which is not dissimilar from what's going on in Berkeley and to a lesser extent, I think, in other places. I don't really know what's going on in D.C. But the question is a question of whose station is it and who gets to make decisions. So that's very much a part of it. But as Gerald said, there is this heavy, very heavily racialized component of that conflict in that place at this time having to do with the various factions. So that makes what is already in Berkeley a very difficult situation, an order of magnitude more difficult. And some of this goes back to the bylaws things. There was not widespread consent among all the different parties involved that the particular solution in the bylaws, particularly around affirmative action, was acceptable. And so the idea that, okay, well, now we've said this is how we're going to, by consent, choose how this is governed, it wasn't consented to by a significant sector of people who felt that they got just overpowered. So it shouldn't be surprising. I didn't think it was surprising at the time, or I expected at the time things would go on in this nature because there wasn't consent among people who were actively involved. Now, there's the issue about provocateurship, and I agree with Ray. I believe there is professional provocateurship, and that one of the characteristics of that is that there will be representatives of whoever's doing that on both sides of the conflict, not one, not the other. So both sides will be able always to point to somebody with the most extreme behavior, and that happened in the Free Pacifica struggle. The most extreme people in the struggle, in the reform movement, were treated by the other side as representative of the whole range of opinions. So we were all to be painted with that same brush. We were all to be dismissed with that same brush. So as a result, a whole lot of people would never listen to what the substantive arguments were. So somebody who's very knowledgeable, and by the way, as I said in the note I wrote to everybody, the provocateurship can never be the dominant element. They're preyed on particular, very real concerns very real issues, very real grievances, and it also preys on people's very worst characteristics and their weaknesses and brings those up to the fore. So someone very knowledgeable about the situation, who I have a lot of respect for, says to me that war is inevitable at WBAI. Now, war is attractive to provocateurs. It's attractive to people who think they can win and don't want to compromise. It's attractive to those who think they have no option to be heard and in any compromise will be wiped out. Their concerns, their grievances are just going to get wiped away. So all those people have a desire to, quote, go to war. And Mark says he doesn't think that, and I understand his point, that we can do anything because there's really nothing to be done until after the election. But I have a slightly different opinion about that. I do want to say that I don't think there are two sides. It's been represented as two. I think there are at least three that I'm aware of. And to call it two is to make a mistake. I think we have to have a team. A board-staff relation, you know, Ray made the comment about, well, who's going to be on the committee, and we can't use just a sort of abstract formula to choose this. It depends on who the persons are. And I think there has to be a team of people who are involved in dealing with this, and it has to have people who are respected from each of the sides. They have to be people who, preferably people whose integrity, if not their political position, is respected by the other people on the other side. So I know you come in from a different place, but I trust you to be true in what you're saying. You're representing an honest position. They also have to be people committed to avoiding the war. They have to be people who see that going to war is a harm, that there's no success to be had there, because one side in a war will lose now and the other side will lose later. Take the bylaws war, if you will, in some respect. And they have to be free to propose a whole range of things, because there may be things way beyond just the narrow issues apparently at stake, like, for example, the bylaws issue that need to get dealt with. And they have to be people who are respected enough by their respective constituencies that they won't feel you're going to go in there and sell us out. Now, what's our role as a board? I think our role as a board has to be that anybody who is demonstrating a commitment to raise the stakes, to move it closer to an actual conflict and confrontation from whatever side, anybody who's going to do that and engage in brinksmanship until and unless every other avenue for a principled compromise, and I don't think anybody should ask for an unprincipled compromise, you know, but until that's been worked out by the people involved in this kind of an effort, anybody that wants to then raise the stakes, they have to be, we have to make it clear that those people are going to be seen as the problem and will be acted on. And I think the responsibility does lie with the people who hold the control. That is, in my opinion, the management of the station and the management of the network. Those people have to be responsible for enforcing a certain level of decorum at all times, because it's not the case that the governance structure is in command of the daily operation of the station. So we have to get a commitment from our managers, find out from them what they need in order to be able to make that happen. But we have to have some mechanism or statement, and that's what I'd like any board-staff relations committee to work on. We have to have a mechanism of how do we identify the people who are raising the stakes instead of trying to step back and making an agreement that we've got to come to solution. And anybody who doesn't buy into that process, at least at the outset, I think we should see them, no matter which political side they're on, as the problem. And how you deal with that should be what I'd like to see the Board Staff Relations Committee deal with.
Mm. Great.
Right?
Is there anyone who'd like to speak that we haven't heard from?
This is Julie. I'd just like to say a quick word.
Sure, go ahead, Julie.
I just want to thank Dave for that extensive sort of outline, and I think that makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, one of the things that we obviously do need to look at are concrete solutions. I thought that Dan raised a number of really good ideas, and sort of coupled with what Dave has now outlined, I think would be sort of set us on the path toward finding a solution, if not a solution in and of itself. And so, I don't know, I guess that's about it.
This is Teresa. I'd like to say something.
Yes, Teresa.
When I was on the board before the interim board, when
you go back that far, Teresa?
I go back that far.
Sorry for interrupting.
Go ahead.
I went to a meeting, and people said there are problems at Pacifica. And I said, well, if there are problems, why don't you join the board? And people said very passively, they said it while they were kind of whining, they won't let us on the board. And I said, well, I think then I will join the board. And I got on the board, and I was the odd person out. And someone talked about, well, let's make sure that that you have a good relationship between the chair and the executive director. I agree. That is very important. It's just good. It's important in general that you have a respectful relationship where people understand what they're responsible for and are just at least respectful of the responsibilities of each party. But in that instance, the board had no checks and balances to the station manager, in my opinion. And I think we just have to hopefully, you know, somehow stop this power play. While this was happening, all of a sudden there started being policemen at the board meetings. And then I went to the station, and without being told that I couldn't come to the station, naive as I was, there was a confrontation. So I agree with Dave. That's an escalation, and we should be very careful about people, cautious about people that want to escalate, you know, bringing in the police and such. I would suggest that somehow we approach a Fellowship for Reconciliation or some peace group to have people there monitoring, you know, who is fanning the flames. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thanks, Teresa.
Marty, this is Wendy. I could say something.
Okay, Wendy.
I need to apologize for being interrupted a couple of times during this discussion, but what I thought we were talking about when it started was whether the PNB was going to offer any guidance in this issue. And I'd just like to say that I definitely think that we should, because we're the ones who are going to be held responsible, particularly if there end up being lawsuits over this thing. So I would just caution us to not sit back and wait for elections, because part of the thing that's happening is that people are using their airtime to denounce certain kinds of candidates. And it's, you know, it goes all back to the painting everybody with the same brush thing. We can't do that. All of us are individuals, and I don't think there's any simple solution or any simple way to just say, oh, so-and-so, you know, opposed me, therefore they're this kind of person. So that's my, you know, brilliant guidance here. I don't think we could sit back and do nothing, but I really can't tell you exactly what I think we should do. So,
okay, is there anyone else who'd like to?
Carol,
you've spoken.
Ambrose.
Okay, is there anyone who hasn't spoken?
Yes, this is Henry.
Okay, Henry, would you like to speak first?
Kalonji said as well.
Okay, Kalonji and Henry.
Well, I think I'm going to do mine in writing an email to you folks, because
okay.
I think it's a lot broader than we can ever deal with right here. So I like to look through my writing.
Right.
I need time to write it out. It's too heavy for me to just come out with something right now.
Okay, well, we'll expect to see it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Henry.
Yes, Dave, you gave a very good description, a very analytic description of the work of a professional provocateur. So I have seen that several times. But how can we turn from that good analysis back to the ground policy, back to the ground solution to the situation that we have right now in WBAI? Because I would like to see the dots on the I's and the crosses on the T's, et cetera, to start implementing something that can hold some kind of meat to this situation. That's it.
Okay, open-ended question. All right, so anyone else who'd like to speak who hasn't spoken?
This is Alice. May I just ask Dave if he could respond to that, to what Henry just said?
Well,
oh,
you know, there were some of us.
Yeah, come on out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought no one else wanted
to. Carol and Ambrose would both like to speak.
Oh, I apologize.
I would, too.
I'm sorry.
So, Carol, go ahead.
Well, Ambrose brought up a very important point that I thank Leslie Redford for bringing to his attention. The interim board did adopt a race and nationality policy that was not implemented. And I think that we, as the new board, ought to review it and see if we want to reaffirm it and direct that it be implemented.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to put that on the agenda for the next regular meeting.
Okay.
And I'd like everybody to read it. I voted for it, and I'm sad that it was never implemented.
Will you send it to us, Carol?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, thank you.
I think that's a big thing, and we really have to take it seriously. But the two other things, and maybe we have to put a motion on the table. Here is my motion. One, that we authorize, you know, Marty, your report back on the mediators, I wasn't really clear on where you are, but I say wherever you are, we authorize mediation to occur at WBAI and for Don Rojas and Bertold to agree on who the mediator will be. That's one. And two, that we request, when is the next LSB meeting in BAI?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
All right. Well, that we request that first thing tomorrow morning, we be presented with a copy of the safety plan that the board chair and the LSB chair and the station manager have agreed to. Is there a second for that?
Second,
moment?
I second.
Yes,
that
would you accept a friendly addition?
Sure. But
that
it's not mine
the,
anymore.
That the executive director be mandated to assure that whatever plan is devised is implemented.
Mm.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So put that in words. That's better than what I said.
I'm just adding it to what you said.
All right.
Because I think it's awfully important that we start to deal with the fact that we are responsible for governance and management through the executive director.
All right.
That's why we pay him.
Okay, so
and
the motion now reads as amended by Ambrose, one, that we authorize Don Rojas and Bertold to agree on a mediator and to begin the mediation process as quickly as possible. Two, that we the board will be shown a written copy of the safety procedures for tomorrow night's LSB meeting no later than tomorrow morning in writing, and three, that the executive director is
be directed
is directed by this board to ensure that safety policy is implemented tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. I second.
Point of information, this is Ray.
Yes, Ray.
I feel a bit reluctant to ask him to ensure that the policy be implemented before I see it.
This is Mark. I agree with Ray on that. I understand the intention here. And from what I understand from Dan, what he said before he left was that tomorrow morning he'll be speaking with Marty and also with the GM there and working out the logistics of this particular plan.
Right.
Which will then be disseminated to all of us. What I would also like at that time is the offer of mediation to be presented to the parties as something that they might want to take advantage of. But I'd like to hear what they have to say, what their plan is, before we decide what the plan is.
Marty, Dave?
Okay,
Just
a moment. I just want to respond because I did talk to Don Rojas today.
Okay.
And I want to put a couple things into this conversation. One is that he is very open to mediation. As you know, he asked for it, and he is interested in pursuing it. And he and I spoke about a timing issue, you know, because it really should take place, obviously, as soon as possible, but before the end of August, because the Republican convention is going to be in New York and AI is going to be very busy. So that's one point. He also told me that he will be at the meeting tomorrow night, that he's spoken with Bertold and with Dan about safety measures, and that he endorses Paul Servell's initiative, and that he's going to state that publicly.
What is that,
Dave?
And so that was what he told me, and that they had spoken about some safety precautions, and I don't know the details, but I just wanted to tell you what I did know.
All right, thank you, Marty.
Yeah. Okay, and now
I just make a point of clarification about the motion?
Yes.